present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated with International Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 213. 213 weeks of broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence, confidence in the King James Bible. Our phone number, 609-854-4452, 609-854-4452. Call us if you have questions or comments. We'd like to hear from you. We're in the process of talking about refuting a booklet by Dr. Ernest Pickering on Bible texts and translations. If you'd like more information about our broadcast or about our Bible for Today ministry, write us for Why the Bible for Today. We'll send it to you, a Bible for Today news report, or call us. Or more information on the Dean Burgon Society, we'll send you a Dean Burgon News and our Articles of Faith. We'll send you also, if you requested, our brochure number 1. We have 785 titles now, 785 titles of defending the Bible for Today's main theme and the Dean Burgon's main theme, the King James Bible and the received text and the Masoretic text that underlies it. I think it's 758, maybe that's what it is. I've got to get the exact number, but over 700 titles. Write us for it and we'll send it to you. By the way, if you're listening to us, as you are, on one of our stations, we have about 7 or 8 stations, I can't keep up with them, but if you're listening to us on this 30-minute weekly broadcast, why not call your station and ask if they carry us also on our daily 5-minute per day, Monday through Friday, weekly broadcast. I mean, it's a daily broadcast, but it's heard each day of the week, Monday through Friday. And maybe they will tell you whether or not you can hear us on that weekly, or rather the every week, Monday through Friday. I guess it's called the daily broadcast. I'm a little mixed up on some of my terms here this morning, or this afternoon, or whenever you hear us. All right, we're talking about Dr. Ernest Pickering's pamphlet, Questions and Answers about Bible Translations. Dr. Pickering is a pastor of the Fourth Baptist Church, president of Central Baptist Seminary, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The last broadcast, as you recall, last week, we had some introductory remarks. We talked about the author of the booklet, the 73 comments that we had, my acquaintance with the author, how we differ on Bible texts and translations, though we're agreed on many other things, the method of the paper. And then we talked about on page 1 of his paper on his purpose, good men differ on the theme, the treatment was not exhaustive, incorrect definition of translation with message versus words. We talked about reliability of translations. We talked about the definition of a translation, what it was. And then on page 2, we talked about the NIV, the NASV, and the New King James also partaking in paraphrase. And then paraphrase was not limited to the Good News for Modern Man. And then no words of a version are directly inspired by God, therefore 100% without error, only the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. So these were the comments that we made on last broadcast. Now we come to comment number 10 out of the 73 comments in regard to Dr. Pickering's paper. As we mentioned, we agree with him on many other areas, but certainly we disagree on many aspects of his views of Bible texts and translations. On comment number 10, now by the way, this is on taped cassette, the answer to Dr. Pickering, 2 cassettes, number 2040 TP, 2040 TP, it's 2 cassettes, write us or call us, we'll tell you how you may receive a copy of that, or you may want a copy of the broadcasts that we're refuting Dr. Pickering on, write us for that if you wish. We also will be getting out a printed copy of this refutation. We're in the present time making this up and reducing it to writing. It's been on tape, but we're reducing it to writing as well. So if you want to inquire about it, simply ask for BFT number 2040 in writing or in tape. All right, comment number 10. This is on page 6 of our written report, and that is misunderstood statements about the King James Bible. Dr. Pickering wrote, quote, "The following statement, typical of the position of some, would therefore be incorrect. Quote, the King James Bible, AV 1611, is the inerrant Word of God." Unquote. That's from the King James Contender, April of 1980. No, for the reasons developed in comment number 9 above, I would agree with Pickering on this statement about the King James Bible. It is not 100% inerrant. It is not 100% infallible. And the reason for this is that I believe in human depravity. Now, my friend, that's not to knock the King James Bible or to say it's not the most accurate translation in the English language, but to use the words 100% inerrant or 100% infallible, I believe that flies in the face of human depravity. The King James Bible is a translation which was made by mortal, sinful, depraved, frail human beings. Nothing that is thus made, that is by mortal, sinful, depraved, frail human beings, nothing that is made in that way can be 100% perfect, or 100% infallible, or 100% inerrant. Only God is 100% perfect. Now, you will agree with me, I'm sure, my friends, as you listen to the broadcast. We demand 100% perfection from our God, and He is. Only God is 100% infallible, and only God is 100% inerrant. The slight differences in a few verses of the King James Bible, as printed by Oxford Press versus those printed by Cambridge Press, illustrate human fallibility. Having said this, let me say that in my judgment, the King James Bible is the most accurate Bible translation in the English language today. I can hold it up and honestly say that it is the Word of God in English. It's the best translation in the English language because of its superior Old Testament Hebrew text, because of its superior New Testament Greek text, because of its superior translators, because of its superior translation technique, and because of its superior theology. And this, I believe, we must clearly understand. The King James Bible is accurate, but it is not 100% inerrant, 100% infallible, 100% perfect. Certainly, perfection does not lie in a translation, but we do believe in 100% reliability and perfection of the Greek text that we now possess that underlies our King James Bible, that our Hebrew text that we now possess that underlies our King James Bible. Let me go back for a moment to page 5 in our comments, comment number 8, where paraphrase is not limited to the good news for modern man. And I give some illustrations of what divine inspiration is and how God did not breathe out or inspire the exact words of any translation or version in the world. If He had done so, He would have, by so doing, created new revelation. If God had breathed out in any language in the world, but revelation ceased with the completion of the Old and New Testaments, and God has pronounced a solemn curse on anyone who adds to that revelation, whether the translation or version is in the English, including even the King James Bible, or in Spanish, or in French, or in Italian, or in Russian, or in Chinese, or in Japanese, or in any other languages of the world, this is still a human translation or version. It's not divine revelation. Now, the differences between divine revelation and human translation must be clearly understood. They're not the same. We confuse people greatly if we mix up the two concepts and words. Revelation is immediate. That is, right on the spot, exact. Translation is mediate. That is, it goes through an intermediary. Translation always starts with the Hebrew or Aramaic Old Testament or Greek New Testament and proceeds to another language. That's immediate process. Revelation is direct. God spoke to Moses, and Moses wrote it down, or to David, or to Paul, or to James. Revelation is direct. Translation is indirect, always going through another medium, through Hebrew and Aramaic, Old Testament, Greek, New Testament. Revelation is only in the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. That's all. Revelation that God gave to us. Translation can be in any language in the world. Revelation is infallible. When God told it to the writers of the Old and New Testament, it's infallible. Translation can be fallible. It can have mistakes, little mistakes here and there, small ones, tiny ones. It can be fallible. Revelation is inerrant. It's from God, therefore it must be inerrant. Revelation has to be inerrant. It's from God. But translation can be errant. Revelation is perfect because God is perfect. Translation can be imperfect. Revelation is made by God Himself. Translation is made by man. Biblical revelation has been once for all given and will never be repeated, added to, subtracted from, or changed. Biblical translation, especially in the modern versions, which are paraphrases rather than translations, has not been once for all given, but in various languages all around the world is being repeated, added to, subtracted from, or changed. And so these are some of the comments that we made on the written report, and we wanted to make it clear. Now, still on comment number 10 out of 73 on Dr. Pickering's paper on Bible translations, refuting it in some areas. And we're talking about misunderstood statements about the King James Bible. Dr. Peter Ruckman and those who follow his teachings in the King James Bible hold to an extreme position on this issue of the King James Bible. He believes in its 100% inspiration, its 100% inerrancy, and 100% infallibility, and 100% perfection, even extending to the italic type. He believes also that the King James Bible is a revelation, not merely a translation. He believes that God the Holy Spirit moved upon the translators of 1611 and gave them by direct inspiration and by God's breathing out, gave them the exact words, including the italics, by special divine revelation. The same as he had given to the writers of the Old and New Testaments, such as Moses, such as David, such as Samuel, Matthew, Paul, John, Peter, James, and other writers of our Bible. Now, I reject this position as being a deviation from and a denial of the truth of Scripture, and as absolute and total heresy. God's revelation has ceased with the completion of the biblical canon about AD 90, and nothing can be added to this final revelation, not even the English or the King James Bible. Now, this is a serious and most important distinction. The misunderstanding of this concept is tearing up many churches and confusing many others. We disassociate ourselves completely from this false treatment of the King James Bible. My friend, if you believe, as many misguided pastors and preachers and believers throughout the world and throughout the United States believe, if you believe that the King James Bible English came from direct divine revelation from God the Holy Spirit in the exact way that God gave his revelation to Moses and Paul and James and John and the New Testament writers and Old Testament writers by direct revelation. If you believe that the English, 1611 English, came by that same process of direct revelation, and so throw away the Hebrew, throw away the Greek. This is the special new revelation. If you believe that, my friend, you believe in heresy. You believe in gross error. You believe that you are something. You are doing something that God has forbidden. You have placed yourself under the curse of God because you are adding new revelation, never before having been given to man. And God said, new revelation shall stop. You shall not add unto my words, neither subtract from them nor change them, is the command of God. All right, this is Dr. D.A. Waite speaking, director of the Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Write us or call us. Our phone number is area 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Be glad to give you our brochure number one, 785, I believe, titles. We'll have to get the exact number. We've increased them since we last printed that brochure number one. 785 titles defending the King James Bible and the received Greek text, Hebrew text, against the new versions of the Bible. All right, here's comment number 11 out of 73 on Dr. Pickering's volume and book on small little pamphlet, really, questions and answers about Bible translations. Comment number 11, the meaning of the verbally inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. Dr. Pickering's question number 5 is, quote, if no existing translation is without error, what do we mean when we say we believe that the Bible is the verbally inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God? That's his question. Well, he answers it, and he says, quote, the original authors of the Old and New Testament canonical books were directly controlled by the Holy Spirit as they wrote, so that every word they penned was exactly as God intended, without violating their own individuality and while utilizing their own vocabulary, and that the final product, the original manuscripts, were without error or omission. Unquote. I think that's a good statement, though some neo-evangelicals deny that even in the very original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words of the Scriptures, they deny that the very words were given by God himself by plenary verbal inspiration, and they were consequently 100% inerrant and 100% infallible. These new evangelicals deny this. In fact, Dr. Harold Enzell, a new evangelical himself, in two books about the Bible, wrote and exposed the new evangelical heresies in regard to denial of original verbal plenary inspiration of the Scriptures. The Battle for the Bible and the Bible in the Balance, two books which we carry in our Bible for Today, by the way, and some of those new evangelicals deny the plenary, full, verbal, very word inspiration, even in the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. They deny it. They say it never happened. They say that there were errors in the very original languages that God gave and God spoke in and revealed his words in. And in a real sense, God spoke and revealed his words and caused them to be written down in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. These three biblical languages are the only three that God used to transmit his revelation from himself to man. It's quite correct to say that they were without error or omission. But, let me continue. Now that's the very original words in Hebrew or Aramaic and or Greek that God caused to write down at the very first, the very original words in those original Bible text languages. But let me add another thought. But we also must say a word about God's preservation of every word of his original language Bible texts. the original Hebrew and Greek texts. Now, if God did not preserve those words for us, then we do not have them today, and we're of all men most miserable. But as a matter of personal faith, this is my personal faith, my friend, you may differ or disagree, I believe that both the Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text underlying the King James Bible and the received Greek New Testament text underlying the King James Bible, those two underlying Masoretic Hebrew texts and Greek texts contain 100% of the exact words in Hebrew or Aramaic and Greek that God gave in the original writings. This is exactly what I believe. It's exacting and 100% Bible preservation. So that in point of fact, based once again on my personal faith, after studying this subject since 1971, quite a few years, I have 100% right now in my hands, available in a book form, of the very words which God caused Moses, Daniel, David, Paul, John, Matthew, and others to write down. In other words, I believe I have the original words in my possession. We have the New Testament text that underlies our King James Bible. It's the text that was printed in a book form. We have it, number 471. Is it Bible for Today? If you're interested in getting the exact original words that I believe God caused to be written down in the New Testament, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, it's the very Greek text that underlies our King James Bible. Originally, it was the text that Dr. Frederick Scrivener made up in 1885 or 86, long in there. And it is originally the text, basically, of Beza, 1598 edition. I believe there are a few other editors that the King James Bible translators use, but I believe that those are the original words in the Greek language. Every one of them we have possessed in our possession, and the same for the Old Testament. The Masoretic traditional Hebrew text that underlies our King James Bible, I believe God preserved those words. This is a matter of faith. I believe that we have to have some base that does not change. And I am not for changing and altering the very words that God has preserved for us. This being the case, if we have the original words in our possession in these books, and we have the Old Testament Hebrew in printed form, and it's the very Hebrew that underlies our King James Bible, we have the same in the Greek text, in printed form, if those are the very words that God gave originally, then those words are inspired words, are they not? These Hebrew and Greek words that God has preserved for us, and we have them in book form, and they're available. If you're interested in receiving them, we have them. And if they're inspired words, they're the very words that God gave originally, they're inerrant words, they're infallible words, they're perfect words, they're preserved words. They are revealed words, are they not? Now, all of these adjectives, inspired, inerrant, infallible, perfect, preserved, revealed, all of these adjectives I place at the level of these original words in Hebrew and Greek that God has preserved for us, rather than at the level of any translation or version. Even the King James Bible. Now, I know some of my brethren differ with me on this, and they use those words referring to the King James Bible, but I think it's confusing to do so. I think it's confusing to refer to the preserved Hebrew and Greek words as infallible, perfect, preserved, revealed, inerrant, inspired, and at the same time use those same words to refer to the King James Bible in the English language, infallible, perfect, inspired, inerrant, revealed, and preserved. I believe we should make a distinction between God's revelation that He gave originally and then preserved for us in the original language texts of Hebrew and Greek, and the distinction between that and a translation from those words into other languages. I believe we should to fail to do this, we're in serious trouble. Now, I can't prove to anyone who doesn't want to accept it, but I do believe and hold to this view that God has preserved for us in His original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, the very texts, the original language texts that underlie the King James Bible. And that's where I rest my case. And then from those original language texts that God has preserved, Hebrew and Greek, that underlie the King James Bible is the most accurate English translation made to date. And so far as I know, will ever be made. Accurate. And it's wonderfully given to us in a marvelous way. And God has used the King James Bible. It's got God's life in it. It's got God's breath in it. It breathes because it is so unique and so wonderfully made and crafted as a translation of His Word. And God has used it down through the centuries since 1611. To save souls, to cause revivals, and to cause men and women, boys and girls, to be regenerated and to give their lives and hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's go to Dr. Pickering's page 3, my comments number 12 to 15 out of 73. Comment number 12 on page 3, we're talking about Dr. Pickering's booklet, Questions and Answers About Bible Translations. Comment number 12, the meaning of the verbally inspired, inerrant, infallible word. All right, comment number 12, Dr. Pickering's questions and answers, and so on. Let's see, I guess, here it is. I guess we're moving on. The location, rather. Here's the location of the original Bible documents. That's what we're talking about. Comment number 12, the location of the original Bible documents. Dr. Pickering's question number 6 is, do we possess the original manuscripts today? Do we possess the original manuscripts today? He answered, no, the original manuscripts have long since disappeared. Well, this is no doubt correct. I'm very careful in what I say. This is no doubt correct. Because we cannot be absolutely certain of this, all we have to go on is negative evidence. That is, has anyone produced the original manuscripts that were penned down, the original documents penned down by Moses or David or Samuel or Paul or Peter or New Testament writers? But even if the original documents and parchments were in existence somewhere, buried or hidden away, how would we ever know they were the original documents? This doesn't bother me, however, since, as we mentioned in comment number 11 that we've mentioned earlier on the broadcast, since I believe that God has preserved the original words in Hebrew, Aramaic, and in Greek, because of this, I don't need the original paper on which the words were written down. Now, that's the original, those are the original documents, the paper, the parchments, whatever you want to call them. The vellum, if it was in vellum. The parchments, if it was parchment. Whatever kind of paper we're talking about. I don't need them. Since I believe I have the original words, not the original paper. There's a difference between the original paper and the original words, is there not? The original paper of the Declaration of Independence of 1776 is one thing. But in order for me to have an accurate copy of the Declaration of Independence, I do not need to have the original paper, do I? So long as I have a photographic reproduction of that original paper, the paper that I have of the Declaration of Independence of 1776 can be 100 or 200 years old, the paper, so long as the original words are there, I have it. I have all of it. I have it complete. I have it 100% perfect, 100% inerrant, 100% infallible. And that is just simply an illustration of a document that men and women can possess today. So I have the original paper, I have the original words preserved for me in the documents because of my belief that God has preserved them in Greek and Hebrew. and therefore I have in my possession the original manuscripts that they could ever give me. I have what I need. I have more than the original manuscripts because I have them all printed and bound for me in books in my library and so on. Well, the time's up for now because we'll have to get into this next broadcast. Please stay tuned to next week's broadcast too. And remember, though time's up for now, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Trust him and receive him. And then write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible. So long until next week. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at this same time and over this same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to broadcast number 214. 214 weeks of broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence in the King James Bible. Our phone number, 609-854-4452, 609-854-4452. Call us if you have questions or comments. We'd like to hear from you. We're refuting the paper by Dr. Ernest Pickering on questions and answers about Bible translations. It's on tape number 2040. Write us or call us, and we'll tell you how you may receive your copy of two cassettes that answer this, or the radio broadcast that you're listening to at the present time, or we're also preparing a manuscript answer to this particular paper, questions and answers about Bible translations. If you're interested in more information on the Bible for Today, write us for it. We'll send it to you. Why the Bible for Today, our Bible for Today news report, or the Dean Burgon Society's Articles of Faith, or the Dean Burgon News, and especially write us for brochure number one, over 785 titles on the King James Bible superiority and in favor of the King James Bible and the received text, the Textus Receptus, the Greek New Testament, the Masoretic text of the Old Testament, against all the various versions. You might want to write for our Bible for Today catalog. We have over 2,000, and I guess it's 2,059 titles that we presently carry on the issues of today as well as the issues of the Bible. Well, we're talking about this refutation and answer to Dr. Ernest Pickering's paper. The reason we're doing it is because this is a current thought among Bible-believing fundamentalists against the received text that underlies our King James Bible and against the King James Bible itself. And so we believe that it is very vital that we answer Dr. Pickering, who is a fundamental Baptist such as I am and separatist Baptist such as I am, but still, we believe that he needs an answer. The paper needs an answer. The facts that he presents are not completely accurate, and we want to call these to the attention of our listeners. Last time, we're talking about 73 comments that we have on this paper of Dr. Pickering. 73 comments. And we have comment number 12 from Dr. Pickering's page 3. Last broadcast, we talked about the location of the original Bible documents and whether the Bible documents, the originals, are still preserved or not. And I said that since I believe that I have the original words which God has preserved for me in the documents mentioned above, that is, in the traditional Masoretic Hebrew text that underlies our King James Bible, And in the received Greek text that underlies our King James Bible, I believe by a matter of faith that God has preserved those two original language documents, and that I have the words, the original words. Now, I don't have the original paper. I don't have the original paper on which the words were written, that Moses wrote them or David wrote them. But I believe, as a matter of faith, that I do have the original words. So I don't need the original manuscripts, the original paper. I have it, and I believe that God has preserved it for me and for you in the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text that underlies our King James Bible, and in the traditional received Greek text that underlies our King James Bible. I believe that we've got to stop changing our Hebrew and Greek. We've got to come to the place where we believe that this is what God has reserved for us. We have to have a base. We have to have a standard. We have to have somewhere where we cannot veer off and we cannot change. And I believe that we have these documents. And therefore, I have in my possession everything that any original manuscript could ever give me. In fact, I have more than the original manuscripts because I have these preserved words, these original words of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, printed so that we can read them easily, and bound in two books, and they're in my library. One is in Hebrew and Aramaic, the other's in Greek. And I don't need the original paper, the original documents, the original manuscripts, the original vellum, the original parchment. I have it printed in a book. And number 471, for example, is Bible for Today's 471, is the exact Greek text that underlies our King James Bible, which I believe has every word that God gave us in the New Testament. And this is available. It's published and printed by the Trinitarian Bible Society. We have it. We carry it in our Bible for Today and our Dean Burgon Society. If you'd like to write us or call us and ask how you can get your copy of this Greek text, we'd be glad to tell you how you may receive it. And we have a copy of the Hebrew or an Aramaic Old Testament Hebrew text. This happens to be the proper text, the proper Hebrew text that underlies our King James Bible. The editor of it is the Ben Chaim edition. It's the Daniel Bamberg Hebrew Rabbinical Bible. And we believe that this is the text that we should have. This particular text we've been receiving from the, believe it or not, the American Bible Society, then they get it from the British and Foreign Bible Society. It was first printed in 1800s, and they haven't changed it to the false Ben Asher Hebrew text, and it still is there. And by the way, in the margin, there is the King James Bible in the margin of this Hebrew text. The very Hebrew that underlies the King James Bible is printed in that, on the page, and on the side, in the margin of it, the King James Bible, an accurate and the best English translation of that Hebrew, is also printed on the same page. And so it's a great assist and a great aid to those who are studying Hebrew and that want to know the very words of God that He gave us from the Old Testament writers. And so we have it in these two books. Now we're prevailing upon the British and Foreign Bible Society and the American Bible Society to get other copies of this parallel version. So far as I know, at the present time as this broadcast is being made, these Hebrew Bibles are out of stock at the New York American Bible Society Depot, and the stock from England, British and Foreign Bible Society, has not yet arrived. In fact, they don't know whether it will arrive. They're not sure whether it's still in print. But I hope they keep it in print. And if they don't keep it in print, I hope the Trinitarian Bible Society will put it into print. If they won't put it into print, I hope the Russian Bible Society will put it in print. And Brother Pastor Bob Doom, who is the director of that Russian Bible Society, and he puts lots of Bibles in print. And so pray about this. We need to protect, and we need to promote and continue the original Hebrew text that underlies our King James Bible. So, as mentioned before, this is a faith position on my part. After 20 years of study, research, writing, speaking on this theme, and I can't convince another living person of this, should they not want to believe it, but on the matter of faith and the basis of faith, I believe we have preserved for us the very words that God wrote down in the original Hebrew and Greek. And so we don't have to worry about the original manuscripts, the original paper on which these words were written. If we have the words, those words are the same words that God gave us and gave to Moses and gave to the other writers of the Old and New Testament, are they not? And if they're the same words, as I've mentioned before, they are preserved words that God has preserved for us in the Hebrew and Greek. They are inspired words, the very words that were inspired by God. Now, they were not given by inspiration, the process of inspiration, but they're the product of inspiration. The process of inspiration was never repeated. That was the means whereby God the Holy Spirit prevailed upon the writers of the Old and New Testament to put down what God wanted them to write down. That's the process of inspiration. That's never to be repeated. But the product of inspiration are the words that God gave to us. And these words, we believe, have, by the process of translation, copies of copies of copies, and by God's method of preservation of these copies, we believe that we have the original words that God gave to us. Therefore, since God gave them to us originally, inerrantly and infallibly, and by inspiration, we believe that this is exactly what we have now. We have words that are inspired words, because they're the original words in the Hebrew and Greek, that we have them. And we believe that they're preserved words, preserved by God. We believe that they're infallible words and inerrant words because God gave them to us. And we can rely upon them. And we believe that those words were revealed to Moses and David and Paul and James and all the Old and New Testament writers. And those were revealed words and given by revelation originally. But now by the process of copying and of preservation, God has still given us these words, and they are revealed words today. Even though they were not given today by revelation, they were given today by copying and by translation, or not translation, but simply copying in God's preservation. Well, enough for comment number 12 out of 73. Let's go to comment number 13. Out of 73 comments, Dr. D.A. Waite speaking, Director of the Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. Write us, or if you want to call us, at 609-854-4452. We're refuting a paper, Questions and Answers about Bible Translations, by Dr. Ernest Pickering, pastor of the Fourth Baptist Church, president of Central Baptist Seminary, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and we believe that these points should be refuted in order to preserve truth in regard to it. All right, comment number 13. Do we have an accurate Bible? Now, that's the comment we want to talk about. Dr. Pickering's question, number 7, is, how do we know, then, that we have an accurate Bible? That's a question. How do we know, then, that we have an accurate Bible? In other words, if the original manuscripts have not been preserved, now, I believe the original words have been preserved, so I don't worry about the manuscripts, but he says he's in a real problem. He doesn't have the original manuscripts, Dr. Pickering doesn't. And so how do we know that we have an accurate Bible? Here's his answer. Through a meticulous process known as textual criticism, all existing copies of the Bible from early centuries are examined, compared, and following accepted guidelines, the original reading is determined. Unquote. All right. Now, that statement is misleading. I believe it's misleading to say that. The textual criticism that he talks about and writes about in vogue today does not either examine or compare each and all existing copies of the Bible. That just is not so. That just is not so. Now, Kurt Allen is an apostate German scholar from Munster, Germany, who is looked at by present-day modernists and neo-evangelicals and all too many fundamentalists as the last word in textual criticism. Now, he is the one that is the textual critic that everybody is looking to. He's the chairman of the editorial committee of the apostates who produced the Nestle-Aland 26th edition Greek New Testament. Now, he's the chairman of that committee, of editorial committee, and they're apostates, such as same as he is. He's an apostate German. He's a scholar. And this Nestle-Aland 26th edition Greek New Testament is a standard textbook in New Testament Greek classes in the vast majority of Bible institutes, of colleges, of universities, and seminaries in this country and around the world. Now, according to Kurt Allen, as of 1967, there were a total of 5,255 Greek manuscripts that have survived. 5,255 Greek manuscripts. Now, that's according to Kurt Allen, the last word in textual criticism. Now, we're examining Dr. Pickering's answer, saying that textual criticism examines all existing copies of the Bible and compares all the existing copies of the Bible following accepted guidelines. Now, be careful of those guidelines. The original reading is determined. All right, so let's take a look at all existing copies of the Bible. Where are they? How many are they? Well, Kurt Allen himself says, as of 1967, now there are a few more that have been found since then, but this figure is as good as any as far as a base is concerned. 5,255. Just remember that figure. 5,255. 5,255. Now, it's absolutely false to say that all existing copies of the Bible are examined and compared by textual criticism. Holland and his Munster men, we call them, have set aside as next to worthless the thousands of Greek manuscripts on which the King James Bible and its Textus Receptus are based. Did you hear that? Kurt Holland and his Munster men at Munster, Germany, who's doing research on the texts of the scriptures in the Greek text that we have in existence, practically lay aside all of his evidence. He examines a few Greek manuscripts, and he concentrates on B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai manuscript, and their 43 or so little alais and texts that go along with them. But the vast thousands and thousands of these 5,255 Greek manuscripts that go along with the received text and the King James Bible, he says, are worthless. They're worthless. These manuscripts are not examined. They're not compared or collated. Now, when you say compare, that means a collation. In the technical sense of textual criticism, when you talk about comparing one manuscript with another, you collate them. And you compare them to a standard original or a standard base. And that collation simply has not been made of all existing copies of the Bible. That is totally false. And when Dr. Pickering puts that in his paper and tells it to his people and gives it out to others that they may understand it and that they may try to come up with it and to believe it, this is absolutely misleading. It's absolutely untrue to say this and to write this. Because these are not collated, they're not compared, and they're not really examined. In fact, they won't even let others examine them, because Kurt Allen does not believe that the received Greek text that underlies the King James Version is proper and good and valuable. Though he has maybe 90 or 95% copies of all existing of these 5,255 manuscripts, most of them, thousands of them, if you want to be technical about it, if there are 5,255 in existence and only 45 go along with the B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai manuscripts that they worship. Well, you subtract 45 from 5,255, you get 5,210. 5,210 manuscripts that are available and in existence today that God has preserved for us are practically thrown in the garbage heap, thrown in the ash can, not used, not touched, not all existing copies of the Bible at all. Now, they are considered by a perverted theory of Hort and Westcott about 1881, these thousands of copies that underlie our King James Bible, they're considered by this perverted theory of Westcott and Hort about 1881 to be mere carbon copies of each other. Though this is entirely false, and therefore are considered as merely one document, these received text documents, these documents that underlie our King James Bible. Since they're carbon copies, that's what they believe. It's not true, but they believe that they're carbon copies. They're mimeograph copies. That's false. But since they believe that that's true, they consider these thousands of manuscripts, 5,210 practically, to be just simply one document and therefore are next to useless so far as the modern critics are concerned. They are neither examined nor compared, that is, collated, or even looked at. What is more, men who want to examine and compare these thousands of manuscripts are prevented by Kurt Holland from completely free and unhindered access to them. I want you to make a pause and think about that. If a man has almost 5,255 Greek manuscripts, copies of them, in his research department there at Münster, Germany, Kurt Holland does this. He's an apostate German. He's not a fundamentalist, Bible-believing Christian by a long shot. He denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, his bodily resurrection, the inerrancy and infallibility of the Scriptures, the virgin birth of Christ. All these doctrines are denied by Kurt Holland. He is a liberal. He is a modernist. He is an apostate. And yet he is guarding at his research department the 5,255 Greek manuscripts, copies of them that he has received from various places around the world. He's guarding them from men who wish to examine them thoroughly, especially the 5,210, more or less, that go along with the received text of Greek that underlies our King James Bible. And he prevents them from doing this. He does not want them to do it. He doesn't want to take the time to do it. The only reason he's looking at these 5,210 other manuscripts is to see if he can find a few more that go along with the corrupt, heretical, and Egyptian manuscripts of B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai manuscripts. He's only found about 43 others that go along with these two, making 45. This is an approximation. And he's valiantly attempting to find a few more to buttress the sorry condition of his view of the Greek New Testament. So this is the way that things are. Now, since these thousands of manuscripts do not go along with a small, tiny, little band of about 45 that follow Codex B, the Vaticanus, and its allies, such as Aleph or Sinaiticus, which we believe to be false, fabricated, perverted, and contradictory manuscripts, since these thousands of manuscripts don't go along with B and Aleph, these thousands are put into a large and separate pile, so to speak. They're not considered individually, and the evidence that they render is not considered to be of equal value to all the 43 or 45 that go along with B and Aleph. Instead, they're put together in a group and called by a name such as Syrian or Majority or Byzantine, some of those names, and each of the manuscripts does not have one vote among the 5,254 others. Instead, all the thousands of manuscripts that are in that pile that go along with the received text that underlie the King James Bible, they are given just one vote. That's all. One vote. Now let's take a look at the 5,255 manuscripts to see if indeed all of them are examined and compared, and we'll use the Nestle-Aulin 26th edition Greek New Testament, which we call NA 26, as a basis. Now we'll see. Now Dr. Pickering has said that how do we have an accurate Bible? Well, through a meticulous process known as textual criticism, he says, all existing copies of the Bible from early centuries are examined, compared, and following accepted guidelines, the original reading is determined, unquote. Well, my friend, let's look at the Nestle-Aulin 26th edition Greek New Testament, and let's see if indeed they've used all existing copies or not. Now, this Greek text is used, as we said, as the general basis for the New Testament, not only in the various Bible institutes and colleges and seminaries and universities, but it's also used as a general basis for the New Testament text of the New American Standard Version, the New International Version, and most all the other modern versions, the New English Version, the Revised Standard Version, the Living Version, the New Revised Standard Version, all these new versions that are pouring forth from the publishers, and by the way, they are making millions and millions of dollars for them, all the modern versions are based on the text, plus or minus, of the Nestle-Aulin 26th edition Greek New Testament. So let's examine the preface of the NA 26, the Nestle-Aulin 26th edition, and you discover the following information. First of all, the Nestle-Aulin Greek text referred to 81 out of the 81 papyrus fragments. Now that's 100% of the papyri. They referred to them. They gave reference to them. That's good. That's a good mark for the papyri. And the reason that they did that, by the way, is that most of the papyri go along with the text that underlies the B and Aleph, the Vatican Sinai manuscripts. And so they used and referred to 100% of the papyrus fragments. Or what about the uncials? How many of the 276 uncials did they refer to? 267, I think it is. All right. They referred only to 246. 246, now these uncials are the capital letter manuscripts, and that's 92% of the uncials. That's a pretty high mark for the uncials. All right, look at the cursives. Now those are the flowing hand manuscripts, the cursives, that are written in, like we would write our normal writing. And how many of those? Well, there are 2,764 of those. Now here we drop down to only 202 of these cursives. 202 of the 2,764 cursives, the flowing hand manuscripts, are used in the Nestle-Aulin 26th edition. Now that's not all of those, is it, by a long shot? That's 7% of the cursives. That's a very low mark for the cursives. Well, what about the lectionaries? Now, these are readings used by the early church on certain days of the Christian year. For instance, they had certain readings for Easter and others for Christmas and so on throughout the Christian year. There are a total of 2,143 lectionaries. How many do they refer to? Only 5 out of the 2,143 lectionaries, Greek New Testament lectionaries, they referred to 5, that's only 0.23%. That's 0.2%. 0.2% of 1% of the lectionaries That's extremely low, as you know. Very, very low. Well, if you add up the total numbers together, papyrus fragments, 81, uncials, 267, cursives, 2,764, lectionaries, 2,143, you have a total of 5,255 potential Greek manuscripts to examine. But the Nestle-Aulin 26th edition Greek New Testament, NA 26, referred only to 534 out of the 5,255 Greek manuscripts. That's only 10% of the manuscript evidence. Now I ask you, does this look like textual criticism has either examined or compared all existing copies of the Bible? Since when is 10% the same as all? Now that is where we are. We're not going to have time to finish this thought, but I hope that you'll tune in next time to this broadcast. Write us or call us. We'd be glad to talk to you about these matters. Time's up for now, but remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that includes you, my friend, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him, trusts in him, should not perish, should not go to hell, but have everlasting life. Trust him. And write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible. So long until next week. Sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated with International Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 215. 215 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence, confidence in the King James Bible. Our phone number, 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Call us if you have questions or comments. We'd like to hear from you. And ask your station if they have our daily programs, Bible for Today daily, Monday through Friday, 5-minute program. See if your station carries it. Perhaps you would like to listen to that as well. If you'd like more information on why the Bible for Today, write us for that. We'll send it to you, as well as our Bible for Today news report and brochure number 1, 785 titles that we carry defending the King James Bible. If you want more information on the Dean Burgon Society, write for our Articles of Faith in the Dean Burgon News. We'd be glad to send that to you as well. All right, in our broadcast today, we're continuing answering and refuting Dr. Ernest Pickering and his booklet on Bible texts and translations. Dr. Pickering's booklet, Questions and Answers About Bible Translations, is an important one to answer because it is a current statement from those who reject the received text and the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible, and a statement of one who prefers the new versions and has used them in the past. Now, last broadcast, we were talking about comment number 13. We have 73 comments we'd like to make about Dr. Pickering's materials and his work, and we want to comment on this, number 13, we got about halfway down the line, and we're talking about the question that Dr. Pickering raises, do we have an accurate Bible? Since he says the original manuscripts have disappeared, do we have an accurate Bible? And he says, through a meticulous process known as textual criticism, all copies, all existing copies of the Bible from early centuries are examined, compared, and following accepted guidelines, the original reading is determined. Well, we say that they did not examine, and they do not examine, all of the documents, all of the evidence. And last broadcast, we went over the amount that was used in the Nestle Island 26th edition Greek New Testament, and it ended up only a total of, well, 7% of the cursives, which was a low mark indeed. And there were, I guess, 100% of the papyri that were used, 92% of the uncials, 7% of the cursives, and actually 5 out of the 2,143 lectionaries, only 0.2% of the lectionaries. And now we come to adding the total numbers together. Papyrus fragments, 81, uncials, 267, the cursives, 2,764, the lectionaries, 2,143, 5,255 potential Greek manuscripts to examine. Now, did the Nestle Island 26th edition Greek New Testament, NA 26, examine all of these existing copies of the Bible and compare them or collate them? Well, the answer is no, they did not. They referred only to 534 of the existing documentation out of 5,255 Greek manuscripts or evidence. Now, that's only 10% of the manuscript evidence. 10%. Now, I ask you, does this look like textual criticism has either examined or compared, that means collated, all existing copies of the Bible? Since when is 10% the same as all? And yet Dr. Pickering says, through a meticulous process known as textual criticism, all existing copies of the Bible from the early centuries are examined, compared. And following accepted guidelines, the original reading is determined. Accepted guidelines, accepted by whom? Accepted by whom? By the liberals, yes. By the new evangelicals, yes. By some fundamentalists, yes. But not by those of us who stand on the opposite side of textual studies. Well, suppose we go beyond the manuscripts. The textual critics using 10% of the evidence, certainly, and leaving out 90% without even so much as a mumbling word, 90% of the evidence, certainly do not examine all of the existing manuscripts. Suppose we go beyond the manuscripts, these 5,255 of them. Let's compare the NA26 on the important subject of ancient versions, and also the quotations from the Church Fathers, both of which Dean John William Burgon said we should examine and use if we're seeking all the evidence. I'm quoting this from page 7 of a book that I wrote entitled 10 Reasons Why the Dean Burgon Society Deserves Its Name. Now, the Nestle Island 26th edition referred to only 3 out of the 20 versions. 3 out of 20. That's only 15% of the versions. A very low mark. The NA 26, the Nestle Island 26th edition, referred to only 72 out of the 300 church fathers that wrote extensively. That's it. Only 72 out of 300. Now, 72 out of 300, that's 24%. 24%. Of the Church Fathers. So for these two additional types of evidence, only 75 out of 320 items of evidence referred to by the Nestle Island 26th edition, that's 23% of the versions and Church Fathers. That's all. And since when does 23% equal all of the manuscripts, all of the evidence is just not used? Well, if you piece together the 4 types of Greek manuscripts plus the 2 other types of evidence that Dean John William Burgon mentions that we should use for any textual criticism, that is the versions, the old ancient versions, and the quotations from the church fathers, he had upwards of 87,000 quotations or allusions by the church fathers to the Word of God that was in their hand while they lived. And these people do not use Burgon's church fathers' quotations to establish what the text is. They rule it out many times. Well, if you add the total of the versions and the church fathers' quotations plus the manuscripts, you have a total of 320 items to the 5,255 with the manuscripts. You get a total of 5,575 total pieces of evidence that's available. 5,575 pieces of evidence. Now, the grand total of evidence used by the Nestle-Aland 26th edition Greek New Testament, that's the one that all the Bible institutes and colleges and seminaries, even some of the fundamental ones use, in fact, most of the fundamental ones use this, it's only 609 pieces that they use out of 5,575. This is only 11% of all the evidence available. The grand total, only 609 pieces of evidence out of 5,575 available were used by the NA 26 edition. Now, since when is 11% the same as all? And so we believe that this comment number 13 on the area of do we have an accurate Bible, Dr. Pickering's explanation for the way he gets his accurate Bible is woefully misleading and woefully incomplete. Well, here's comment number 14 out of 73 on Dr. Pickering's book on Bible versions and the answer to Bible translations. Comment number 14, many readings affect major doctrines. Many readings affect major doctrines. And Dr. Pickering on this particular theme wrote as follows. Important differences of textual criticism, or textual reading rather, are relatively few, and almost none would affect any major doctrine. Now, do you notice that? Important differences of textual readings are relatively few, and almost none would affect any major Christian doctrine. Unquote. Now, my friend, if you're listening to me today at your radio, wherever you may be, in a car, in your home, walking along the street with a radio that is a portable, you use, if you are a Christian and saved by the blood of Christ, by faith and by grace through faith plus nothing, if you're saved, you no doubt read your Bible, or you read a version of the Bible. And you have one if you don't read it. You should read it every day. You should read the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation, in 1 year, in fact. In fact, we have a yearly Bible reading schedule we'd be glad to send to you if you request it, that would take you through the entire Bible in just 85 verses per day, through the entire Bible in 1 year. But what version do you use? What version do you read from? And it's important to you to see the lie that is told here in this particular document, saying that important differences of textual readings are relatively few, and almost none would affect any major doctrine, Christian doctrine. Now, that just simply is false. Major Christian doctrines are affected by the version of the Bible you are using and reading, and your preacher is preaching from, and your teacher is teaching about and teaching from. Major doctrines are affected. And Dr. Pickering is in absolute error concerning this. I would again heartily disagree with Dr. Pickering on this. I've made a study of some of the doctrinal or theological errors in these versions, these new versions. And I'm talking now about the ones that fundamentalist Bible-believing Christians are using. I'm talking about the New King James Version footnotes and the doctrinal errors that they suggest. I'm talking about the New American Standard Version and the doctrinal errors they suggest. I'm talking about the New International Version and the doctrinal errors that they suggest. I made a study of the doctrinal errors of these versions, and I've referred on this broadcast many times. The New King James Version, we have a study on that. Write us if you're interested in that. Over 2,000 errors and deviations and dynamic equivalencies and paraphrases in the New King James Version. The New American Standard Version, we've made a study on that. Write us or call us if you're interested in that study. Over 4,000 instances and examples of paraphrase and perversion. The New International Version, we've made a study on that. 6,653 examples of paraphrases and perversions. But the doctrines we have studied also of these versions and the theological errors. I derived the textual evidence on this subject most of all and mostly from an excellent book written by Pastor Jack Moorman, M-O-O-R-M-A-N. You ought to write us or call us for it. He's a fundamental Baptist missionary to England, formerly to South Africa. The Bible for Today has reprinted this book. It was the fifth book that we have published by Brother Moorman, in which he defended in a scholarly manner both the King James Bible and the received text and Masoretic traditional Hebrew text on which it was based. All of these books are available from the Bible for Today, and you may write us or call us if you'd like a list of Pastor Moorman's excellent scholarly documented books defending the King James Bible and the Textus Receptus Received Text. The title of the book in question is Early Manuscripts and the Authorized Version, A Closer Look with Manuscript Digest and Summaries. Early Manuscripts and the Authorized Version, A Closer Look with Manuscript Digest and Summaries. BFT number 1825, 157 large pages. It's available from the Bible for Today or the Dean Burgon Society. Write us or call us, and we'll tell you how you may receive your copy. Our phone number again is 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. There's solid documentation contained in this book, as in all of Pastor Moorman's books. At the back of this document, Pastor Moorman listed a total of 356 doctrinal passages. 356 doctrinal passages. And Dr. Pickering in his booklet says important differences of textual readings are relatively few, and almost none would affect any major Christian doctrine. Well, here's 356 doctrinal passages where New Testament Greek textual variants affect doctrine, either major or minor. Doctrine is involved in the changes that the Westcott-Hort Greek text and the Nestle-Aland Greek text have made in the original received Textus Receptus New Testament Greek text. In reality, we have 356 reasons for saying that doctrine is affected. In the false readings of the Westcott-Hort or Nestle-Aland critical Greek text, doctrine is important and it's involved. And if we, my friends, do not continue to stick to the King James Bible in our preaching, in our study, in our devotions, we will miss or pervert countless places where doctrine does get involved. Now, from these 356 doctrinal passages discovered by Pastor Moorman, changes and Greek variants between the so-called critical text of Westcott and Hort and Nestle Aland and the received Greek text. From these 356 doctrinal passages, I have selected a total of 158 doctrinal passages that affect major Christian doctrine. This is BFT number 1845. It's available from the Bible for Today. Either write us in Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us at 609-854-4452. We'll tell you how you may receive your copy of this. We call it Theological Errors in the Versions. We've referred to it on the broadcast from time to time. Theological Errors in the Versions. From my examination of these 158 out of 356 doctrinal passages, it is my position that the evidence abundantly shows that B, the Vatican manuscript, and Aleph, the Sinai manuscript, are doctored documents. You know what I mean by a doctored document. And doctored documents do display doctored doctrines. Doctored documents display doctored doctrines. And doctrines are affected by documents that have been doctored. If you don't mind my D's there. But I've listed 158 doctrinal passages by theological categories. Theological categories. In the first place, I've listed theology proper. That's the doctrine of the Godhead. I've listed two verses where doctrine of theology proper and the Godhead are affected by Greek variant readings. Secondly, ecclesiology, that is the doctrine of the church. I've listed one verse on that. Third, angelology. That's the doctrine of angels. I've listed one verse on that. Four, Satanology, the doctrine of Satan. I've listed one verse on that. Number five, bibliology, the doctrine of the Bible. I've listed 32 verses on that. Six, eschatology, or the doctrine of last or future things. I've listed a total of 17 verses on that. Seven, soteriology. That's the doctrine of salvation. I've listed 19 verses on that. Number eight, and finally, Christology, the doctrine of Christ. 85 verses on that. Now, that's how I distribute these 158 doctrinal passages by theological categories. Now, most of these categories have subdivisions in them. The study shows how the various versions have followed B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai manuscripts, in their doctrinal deviations. The versions analyzed are the NIV, that's the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, the New King James Version in the footnotes, and the New Berkeley Version. Those are the four versions that we've analyzed by doctrine. Well, we've talked about these matters on this broadcast before, but let me illustrate just one of the precious major Christian doctrines that are affected by a Greek textual variant of B and Aleph. It's the very, very important major Christian doctrine of soteriology, or salvation. I don't know of any other more important doctrine than salvation, do you? If you'll turn your Bible to John 6:47, we'll find this major doctrine, major Christian doctrine, that is involved in a Greek variant change. The King James Bible accurately translates this received Greek text in John 6:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Unquote. Now that's the verse. Now B of the Vatican manuscript and Aleph, the Sinai manuscript, that Dr. Pickering and his New International Version goes along with, those two documents in John 6:47, B as well as Aleph, omits two precious words out of this verse in English. Now, remember, Dr. Pickering has said, he has stated in regard to major doctrines, important differences of textual readings are relatively few, and almost none would affect any major doctrine, any major doctrine. And yet the two words that are removed by the B and the Aleph manuscripts in John 6:47 are the two words, on me, on me. Their text now reads, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that believeth hath everlasting life. He that believeth. Now that's a doctrine of salvation, is it not? It is not he that believeth on me, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking there to the multitudes, but he that simply he that believeth, or he who believes, however they change it in the English text that they use. Now this affects a major Christian doctrine, does it not? It concerns the means whereby a person can be saved and partake of everlasting life. This is important. This is a major doctrine, a major Christian doctrine of Scripture. And Dr. Pickering's erroneous statement about major Christian doctrines is similar to that made by John MacArthur's man, Dr. Thomas. It's found in the January-February 1990 issue of MacArthur's Masterpiece magazine. I've answered the entire article in a paper that we called MacArthur's Man Answered on 18 Errors on the King James Bible. It's BFT number 1939P, 20 large pages. It's available by writing us or calling us. We'll tell you how you may receive your copy of this document. Dr. Thomas is a teacher and professor at MacArthur's Master's Seminary. He says in his article, reproduced on page 17 of this other study, he says, quote, no major doctrine of Scripture is affected by a variant reading. Now, this is similar to what Dr. Pickering is saying, is it not? The only difference is that Dr. Pickering says, almost none would affect any major Christian doctrine. Almost none. And Dr. Thomas says that no major doctrine is affected. So regardless of the caution of Dr. Pickering, he is just as much in error on this point as Thomas when he says almost no major Christian doctrine is affected, almost none. Well, here is a major doctrine, is it not, in John 6:47. He that believeth on me, says the Lord Jesus Christ, hath everlasting life. That's simply changed to he that believeth hath everlasting life. Now, if this perversion of a major Christian doctrine is left to stand, and it does stand in the New International Version. It does stand in the New American Standard Version. Two versions that are used by even fundamentalist, separatist, Baptist people. It does stand in the New King James Version in the footnotes. This spurious Christian doctrine, a major Christian doctrine. And if it's left to stand, then you could believe in evolution, could you not, to get everlasting life? It says, he that believeth hath everlasting life. Well, you say, well, I believe in evolution. I'm going to get everlasting life. Or in Mohammedanism. I believe in Mohammedanism. Well, you believe in something. You're sincere. And according to the perverted New International Version, New American Standard Version, New King James Version footnotes, you can believe in anything and have everlasting life, according to John 6:47. Believe in Buddhism. Believe in Shintoism, Taoism, any other ism, Judaism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnessism, etc., etc., atheism, whatever it may be. According to the perverted Greek text of John 6:47 and the perverted English text of the New International Version of John 6:47 and the New American Standard Version, John 6:47, and the New King James Version footnotes of John 6:47, you can believe in anything. He that believeth hath everlasting life. Not he that believeth on me, on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is important indeed. Well, so much for comment number 14. Let's look at comment number 15. And by the way, this is available, or will be available, Lord willing, in written form, as the Lord enables us to finish up on it. We have it in written form, or at least we're presenting it. If you want the entire series of broadcasts, either on cassette tape or in written form that you may look over, you may write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or you may call us, 609-854-4452, and we'd be glad to tell you how you may receive your copy of this important study. I believe we're going to stop here with our study, and next broadcast, Lord willing, we'll start with comment number 15, God's preservation of His Word. God's preservation of His Word. My friend, this is important studying. It is perhaps boring to some of you. I don't believe that it's boring to some of you who have your ears and eyes and faith attuned to the importance of the Word of God. But these things of Bible translations and what some men are saying concerning them that are not true, that are influencing many others in their beliefs on Bible translation, these materials, these particular things are very, very important to get straight and to understand. And so we'll continue, Lord willing, next broadcast, an analysis and an answer to Dr. Pickering in his booklet on Bible translations. Time's up for now, but remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You can trust Him right now yourself and believe in Him. Not simply believe, but believe in Him. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us at 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible. So long until next week. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to broadcast, weekly broadcast number 216. 216 weeks of broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence in the King James Bible. Our phone number, 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Call us if you have questions or comments. We'd like to hear from you. We're talking in answer to Dr. Ernest Pickering's paper on Bible translations. Answering Bible translations. It's a current argumentation against the King James Bible and against the received Greek text on which it's based. And we feel that it should be answered by someone and right now and by air in any other way we can. We have these on cassettes. If you're interested in it, it's number 2040/1 and 2. Write us. We'll tell you how you may receive your copy. We're also getting it ready in printed form. It'll be number 2040P. 2040P. Write us or call us. We'll tell you how you may receive your copy. If you'd like more information on our Bible for Today ministry, write us for our Bible for Today news report, or our Why the Bible for Today, or brochure number one, 785 titles that we carry defending our King James Bible and the received Greek text and Hebrew text that underlie it, answering the various versions as well. If you'd like more information on our Dean Burgon Society, write us for our Articles of Faith and the Dean Burgon News. We'd be glad to tell you about that. We have our 13th annual Dean Burgon Society messages all in one large 161-page book. If you want to get a copy of that and see and read for yourselves the stand that we take, write us or call us. We'll tell you how you may receive your copy of that. All right, we're on comment number 15 on Dr. Ernest Pickering's booklet entitled Bible Translations, Questions Answered on Bible Translations. 15 comments now. This is the 15th out of 73 that we'd like to mention. Dr. Pickering's question number 8 is, in his little booklet, could we say, quote, that God supernaturally superintended the preservation of his word through the translation process, with the result that the KJV, as we now have it, in truth, is the only accurate and trustworthy translation? Unquote. Well, in answer to his own question, Dr. Pickering answered, and he said, yes, we could say this, and some do, but it would not be an accurate statement. There's no biblical evidence that supports this concept of the preservation of the text. Unquote. All right, let me answer that particular question on God's preservation of his word. This concerns two separate subjects. Number one, what was God's process in the preservation of his words? That's the first one. Secondly, is the King James Bible, quote, the only accurate and trustworthy translation, end of quote. All right, number one, as for the preservation process that God used, I would not say that God supernaturally superintended the preservation of his word through the translation process. No, I would rather say that through his preservation of the original words, through the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek original language texts that underlie the King James Bible. Now, this underlying Hebrew and Greek original language texts, we believe God has supernaturally preserved through the copying process and through the process of his perseverance and providence. He has preserved, we believe, I believe, personally, in the preservation of the original language text, the Hebrew and Aramaic in the Old Testament, and the Greek in the New Testament. Now, question number two, part of the question number two, as for the King James Bibles being the only accurate and trustworthy translation in the English language, let us consider five superiorities of the King James Bible. There are five reasons why I believe that the King James Bible is the only accurate and trustworthy translation. Number one, because of its superior Old Testament Hebrew text, the Masoretic traditional Hebrew text. And these other Bibles, these other versions, they're really versions, they're not Bibles, do not use exclusively the Old Testament superior Masoretic Hebrew text as the base of translation. If they've moved from that base, they cannot be superior. They must be inferior. And when you look at the New International Version and its Old Testament base, the New American Standard Version, its Old Testament base, even the New King James Version and its Old Testament base, these are three that fundamental Bible-believing Christians are using today, you will not find that it is the Hebrew Masoretic traditional Hebrew text, period. It is the Hebrew text plus this, plus that, plus the other, plus the other, plus the other. It's the same, and therefore it is inferior. Any translation that does not base itself squarely and completely on the Old Testament traditional Masoretic Hebrew text that God has kept and preserved down through the centuries, and if they do not base their text upon that alone, they are faulty. They are inferior, and they cannot be superior, and they cannot be accurate, and they cannot be trustworthy. Now, it's the same as if someone were to say, how is a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, saved? How do they receive everlasting life? Well, is Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 true, or is it false? When Ephesians 2, 8 says, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now we take that scripture, and we quote it, and we say we're saved by grace through faith plus nothing and minus nothing. Now the same can be true of the base of the Old Testament that you're building your version upon. It's got to be the Hebrew Masoretic traditional text alone, plus nothing and minus nothing. And this is what the King James Bible translators have done. They have a superior Old Testament Hebrew text. The second reason for my statement that the King James Bible is the only accurate and trustworthy translation in the English language, because of its superior New Testament Greek text, the received Greek text. Now here again, because we have the new Greek text of the so-called eclectic text, which is not the same as the received Greek text, the Textus Receptus, on which our King James Bible is based, these new versions depart and change some 2,886 words. They drop them out, is what they do. They have left out 2,886 words, Greek words. And the texts are different. The texts are not the same. And the superior New Testament Greek text is the received text, and that is the text on which the King James Bible was based. If you base your New Testament on any other Greek New Testament text than the received Greek text that underlies the King James Bible, you are basing your New Testament upon a false and fraudulent Greek foundation. And it cannot be accurate. It cannot be trustworthy. And it cannot be a translation if it's based on the wrong original language Greek text, which I believe God has preserved intact for us down through the centuries. So that's the second reason for the superiority of the King James Bible. The third reason is because of its superior translators. These men, we've talked about this on this broadcast before, but these men were great men, scholarly men, qualified men, linguistic men, men of superior qualifications, spiritually and intellectually, and as a matter of the use of the Hebrew language, the use of the Greek language, the use of the cognate languages and sister languages to the Hebrew and to the Greek, and the mastery also of the English language. And they came up with a superior product because they were superior translators, not like those that we have today playing around with Hebrew words they do not understand, playing around with Greek words that they apparently do not understand, and using improper Greek texts and improper Hebrew texts. They cannot be superior, and mixed all up as they are in the World Council of Churches and the National Council of Churches and the compromised new evangelical denominations and schools, we cannot trust these translators as being superior. But the King James translators were superior, head and shoulders, like giants, over and above these who have given to us these new modern versions, including the three that the fundamentalists worship, New King James, New American Standard, New International. All right, the fourth reason I believe the superiority of the King James Bible is because of its superior translation technique. Superior translation technique. The verbal and formal equivalents. That's their technique, rather than the dynamic equivalents. They have taken in translation what translation really is and should be. they have used a translation technique of a verbal equivalence. Wherever possible, the words are brought over Hebrew to English, Greek to English. And they've used a formal equivalence. Wherever possible, the forms of Hebrew and Greek are brought over into English. Adjective to adjective where possible, noun to noun, verb to verb, and so on. And this is the type of equivalency that translation demands. Now, these new versions have used dynamic equivalence. That is, only the meaning, not the words. But they have added to the words when they want to. They have subtracted from the words when they want to. They have changed the words when they want to. And this has given us a paraphrase in these new versions to one extent or another. The paraphrase of the New King James Version is over 2,000 examples. We have that available. If you're interested in it, write us or call us. We'll tell you how you may receive your copy of the 2,000 plus paraphrases and dynamic equivalencies that we believe exist in the New King James Version. We've done the same for the New American Standard Version. Over 4,000 dynamic equivalencies or paraphrases in the New American Standard Version. People are saying, oh, I think the New American Standard Version is tremendous. That's much more accurate, much more literal than the King James Bible. Foolishness. Write us or call us for your 4,000 plus examples of those dynamic equivalencies or paraphrases that you find in the New American Standard Version. Or the New International Version, over 6,653 examples. Write us or call us for this study, 284 pages in that one. But these translations, so-called, which are really paraphrases, these new versions, have used a technique of translation that is foreign to the trade, foreign to what translation really is, and inaccurate. And therefore, we cannot say that they're accurate, and we cannot say they're trustworthy, and we cannot say that they're translations. They're inaccurate, untrustworthy paraphrases to one extent or another. But they cannot be depended upon as we can depend upon the King James Bible. A fifth reason for the superiority of the King James Bible is because of its superior theology. Theology. The doctrines of the King James Bible are superior to the false and fraudulent doctrines that are taught in these new versions. Now, we've said on this broadcast before, we have 158 specific doctrinal passages. We've taken them from the 356 doctrinal passages of Pastor Jack Mormon in his study on ancient manuscripts. And we have the 158 categorized, and the theology of these new versions, based as they are in large percentage on B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai manuscripts, they are inferior in their theology, in their teachings, in their doctrines. And we have pointed this out time and time again, and so the superior theology of the King James Bible makes it the only accurate and trustworthy translation. In fact, the only thing that can be called, really, translation. Now, these five superiorities are developed in detail in my book that we entitled The King James Bible's Superiority, God's Word Kept Intact in English. It's number 1594P, 153 large pages with index. And if you'd like to receive your copy, write us or call us at 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. By the way, if you want to ask your radio station on which you hear this broadcast, do you carry the daily, Monday through Friday broadcast of the Bible for Today daily, 5 minutes each day, Monday through Friday? Ask them if they carry that, and if so, ask them the time so that you could listen to it as well as our weekly broadcast. So you may get this if you'd like, and I will also differ with Dr. Pickering and certainly say that it is the only accurate and trustworthy translation in English, that is the King James Bible. There are many translations in other languages which might also be accurate and trustworthy, provided they also partake in the above five superiorities: superior Hebrew Old Testament text, superior Greek New Testament text, superior translators, superior translation technique, and superior theology. If those five superiorities are there in these different language translations, then we would say that they are accurate and trustworthy in their particular language, as we believe the King James Bible is in the English language. All right, this is Dr. D.A. Waite speaking to you from Collingswood, New Jersey, Bible for Today. And our phone numbers again, 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Call us if you have questions or comments. We'd like to hear from you. We're still talking about Dr. Ernest Pickering's booklet, Questions and Answers on Bible Translations. Questions and Answers on Bible Translations. We have 73 comments we'd like to share with you, our listeners. These are available on cassette if you missed a broadcast or two. But we're on comment number 16 out of 73. Number 16 concerns the superior Textus Receptus. The superior Textus Receptus. Dr. Pickering's question number 9 is, quote, are the Greek manuscripts which were used as the basis for the King James Version more reliable than other manuscripts of the Greek New Testament? Unquote. Now that's the question number 9 of Dr. Pickering. I would say this is absolutely correct. I would differ with Dr. Pickering in this. The received text that underlies the King James Bible is the only valid one to use as the basis for any New Testament translation. And the Greek text that underlies the King James Bible is superior for two reasons. Number one, it was accepted by the church down through the centuries, down through the church history. Number two, it is attested by the evidence. Accepted by the church, attested by the evidence. Well, let's talk briefly about how it was accepted by the church. It is the text, this received Greek text, that has been passed down through the centuries by the church. There are 37 historical landmarks which have shown it to be the very text that was accepted by the church down through the centuries of time, from the first century right down to the present. In my study called the King James Bible Superiority, each of these 37 historical links is explained in full. Beginning on page 41, we show the 37 historical links supporting the Textus Receptus. The links start with the apostolic era of 33 A.D. to 100 A.D., the early church period from 100 A.D. to 312 A.D., the Byzantine period from 312 A.D. to 1453, and the modern period, 1453 to 1831. So these periods of church history have been attested, the fact that these areas, these 37 historical links, have accepted by the churches the received Greek text, the basic text that underlies our King James Bible. And so this is the first part, that it was accepted by the church. And then, in the second place, the text that underlies our King James Bible, the Greek received text, the Greek Textus Receptus, is attested by the evidence. Accepted by the church, attested by the evidence. Not only has the received text been accepted by the church, it has been attested by the evidence. As mentioned before, as of 1967, as a cutoff date, Kurt Olland cataloged a total of 5,255 Greek manuscripts. 5,255 that have survived the ravages of time. Now, this includes 81 papyrus fragments. Now that's up to 88, but just for the sake of 1967, it was 81. 267 uncials. Now, the papyrus fragments are just fragments because they're not the full New Testament, and they're on papyrus paper, which is very, very breakable and very fragile. 267 uncials. Now, uncials are called uncials. They're majuscules. They're large capital letter manuscripts. There are 267 of them. And these are in big letters, run together, and so on, 267 uncials. There are of the cursives. These are the flowing hand, like we write our regular longhand today. The cursives are called, or the minuscules. There are 2,764 cursives, as we call them. And of the lectionaries, now lectionaries were Greek New Testament sections that were read at certain times in the Christian year. At Christmas, they'd read something, for example, they'd read something at Easter and so on. And throughout the Christian year, each Sunday, they would have some lections or some readings. These lections or readings were put together in Greek New Testaments, and they're called lectionaries. And they do bear witness to the text of the New Testament. 2,143 lectionaries. So if you add 81 papyrus fragments, 267 uncials, 2,764 cursives, 2,143 lectionaries, you get a total of 5,255. Now that's the evidence that God has preserved for us as far as His New Testament Greek text is concerned. That is the totality. There are a few more that have been added, obviously, to the 5,255, but that's a good base, a good number to work with and to start with. Now, the question is the Greek New Testament that underlies our King James Bible, from which it was translated, is that Greek New Testament attested by the evidence, these 5,255 Greek manuscripts? What is the box score of percentages? That's what I'd like to ask. I'm quoting now from a study that I did on MacArthur's Man Answered on 18 Errors on the King James Bible. Dr. Thomas, John MacArthur's man, one of his professors at Master's Seminary, wrote a paper, and I answered it. It's number 1939P. 1939P. It's available. Write us or call us. And we'll tell you how you may receive your copy, 609-854-4452, 609-854-4452. Well, here's the box score of percentages. For the papyrus fragments, there are only 13 out of the 81, now 88. For the Nestle-Aland 26th edition Greek text, NA26, only 13 out of 81. That's 15% of the papyrus fragments. While there are 75 out of the 88 for the received text. Now that's 85%. 85%. What about the uncials, these capital letter manuscripts? Well, there are only 9 out of the 267 of the uncials that go along with the New American Standard's basic Greek text, the New International Version's basic Greek text, and the National, or rather the Nestle-Aland United Bible Society's text of 26th edition. And this Nestle-Aland 26th edition is only 3%. That 3% of the manuscripts go along with that particular one. Now that is a very low number if you can think about it. 3% of the uncials. Only a total of 9 out of the possible 267 of that. Well, how about the received text, the Greek text that underlies our King James Bible? What about the uncials? 258 out of the 267 uncials go along with the received Greek text. That's 97%. 85% go along with the papyrus fragments, the King James Bible's text. 85%, 97% go along here with the as far as the uncials are concerned. What about the cursives? There are only 23 cursives that go along with the Nestle-Aland 26th edition. 23 out of 2,764. That's only 1% that go along with the texts that underlie these modern versions. But there are 2,764 that go along with the received Greek text. 2,741, rather, out of the 2,764 for the received text that underlies the King James Bible. That's 99% of the evidence of the cursives that go along with our received Greek text. What about the lectionaries? There are none of the 2,143 for the Nestle-Aulin 26 edition, 0%. But all 2,143 out of 2,143, 100% go along with the received Greek text that underlies the King James Bible. I remember Dr. Pickering's question was, are the Greek manuscripts which were used as the basis for the King James Version more reliable than other manuscripts of the Greek New Testament? Our answer is yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. So for the 5,255 Greek manuscripts in our possession, as mentioned above, only 45 go along with the Nestle-Aulin 26 edition Greek text. 1%. While 5,210 go along with the received text that underlies the King James Bible, 99%. Do you see what I mean when I say that the received text that underlies the King James Bible is attested by the evidence? 99% of the evidence certainly is more than 1% of the evidence, is it not? And we're going to stop right here in the paper that we're reading and the study that we're making, still in comment number 16, on the text of Scripture and the Superior Textus Receptus. We want you to write us for this material if you're interested in it. Somewhat technical, we realize. Somewhat involved, we realize that too. But these are charges that are made by those who reject the superiority of the King James Bible. And Dr. Ernest Pickering is one of them. There are many others. We hope as the broadcasts continue, we may be able to refute and to answer some of the others who have written against the position of the King James Bible, the received Greek text, the Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text. And we want you to have confidence in your King James Bible, my friend. We want you to have confidence in that which God has given to you in that particular Bible. And we want you to distrust the New American Standard Version, to distrust the New International Version, to distrust the New King James Version. We want you to depend upon and to trust and have confidence in the King James Bible. It is superior. It is not inferior. And we've talked about its superior text. We're going to continue this next week. We hope that you'll tune in and listen to us again. But the time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That includes you, my friend. You're a part of the world that God so loved. That he gave his only begotten Son. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That whosoever believeth in him, that includes you, you can be included in the whosoever, believeth in him, trusts in him, should not perish, should not go to hell, but have everlasting life. Trust him. Then write to us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible. So long until next week.